And of course, that new song that the believers were to sing was, of course, the song of the Holy Quran. The recitation. I'm taking the word as it has been written in the Tanakh, the song. And of course, we refer to it as a recitation. رَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ التَّرْتِيلَ. And recite the Quran, a beautiful recitation. So 2,500 years between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Ismail, and of course Qaydar. What we do know in terms of the lineage between Muhammad and Ismail, we know only of 20 grandfathers with certainty, bittifaq. In other words, something that all the ulama of Seerah agree upon. There is no question about that. And that is from Muhammad back to Adnan. As from Adnan back to Ismail, whether it's via Qaydar or via Nabit, we are unsure. What we do know, for example, of the hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inna Allah astafa kinana min waladi Ismail, wastafa Qurayshan min kinana." وَاصْطَفَى هَاشِمًا مِنْ قُرَيْشِ وَاصْطَفَانِ مِنْ بَنِي هَاشِمٍ. This is a sahih hadith. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed Allah chose Kinana from Walidi Ismail, from the children of Ismail. And he chose from Kinana, he chose Quraysh. He chose Quraysh. Quraysh, his other name is Fahr. Fahr, one of the grandfathers in that lineage that we're going to look at now, inshallah ta'ala. Then from Quraysh, he chose Bani Hashim. And he chose me from Bani Hashim. So that is all we have in terms of the lineage direct from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Ismail in the sahih, in the authentic hadith of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have this confirmation that indeed our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a descendant of Ismail. But we only have those 20 grandfathers. And of course, Ismail, who came to Mecca when he was an infant, Sayyidah Hajar brought Ismail to Mecca when he was a baby. And Nabi Ibrahim left them there. Sayyidah Hajar asked Nabi Ibrahim, Allahu amaraka bihada? Did Allah tell you to do this? Naam. He said, yes. She said, idhan lan yadayyana, in that case, he will not forsake us. And Nabi Ibrahim went a little bit to the Batha of Mecca and he made that dua. You know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he must send afidatan minan nasi tahwi ilayhim. He must send hearts, meaning people. He must send people towards them and grant them of sustenance, of fruits, in order that they can have some ma'isha, some sustenance in Makkah al-Mukarramah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered that dua in the form of a tribe by the name of Jurhum, the tribe of Jurhum, which at the time was ruling in parts of Hijaz. They then moved to Mecca. And they found Sayyidah Hajar and Ismail, they found them in Mecca. This is the tribe of Jurhum. And the chief of the tribe of Jurhum, his name was Mudad ibn Amr al-Jurhumi. His daughter, Ramla, married Nabi Ismail, alayhi salatu wasalam. And that's where the Arab connection comes in. Because our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is considered to be from al-Arab al-Musta'riba, from the Arabized Arabs. Why? Because Ismail, from whom he descends, wasn't an Arab, ethnically speaking. In terms of lisan, that is something different. But in terms of his ethnicity, Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam was the son of Ibrahim. And Ibrahim was from the al-Aramiyyin. He was from the Arameans. He spoke Al-Aramiyya. He spoke Aramaic. Ibn Hazm says he spoke Syrianiyya, which is a form of Aramaic. And Nabi Ibrahim came from Mesopotamia. Meso, which means in between. Potamia, which means the two rivers. So in between the two rivers, that is where Nabi Ibrahim came from. Ur, from Ur, and then Haran, Haran to Canaan, and then from Canaan to Egypt, back to Canaan with Hajar and Sarah, left Sarah in Canaan and took Hajar and Ismail and left them in Makkah. So the first contact with Hajar was, of course, she was from the Aqbat. Aqbat, that's where the word Egypt comes from. Egypt, Egypt, Egypt. She was an Egyptian. She was a, in some narrations, she was actually a Coptic princess that was taken as a slave by one of the Jababira, one of the tyrannical pharaohs, who then gifted her to Sarah after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him lame when he tried to touch Sarah. So Nabi Ibrahim leaves Sayyidah Hajar and Ismail in Makkah. The tribe of Jurhum comes up and settles in Makkah. And in the hadith in Bukhari, that Ismail was 14 years of age. فَتَعَلَّمَ مِنْهُمَ الْعَرَبِيَّةِ He learned Arabic from the tribe of Jurhum. But the tribe of Jurhum, what type of Arabic were they speaking? They were speaking al-Arabiyya Sabaiyya, Sabaic Arabic. Not the Arabic of the Quran. Who was the first person to speak Arabic as we know it in the Quran? Quranic Arabic. Al-Lughat al-Arabiyyat al-Fusha. Classical Arabic. According to Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, who has written the best commentary, most famous and accepted commentary on Sahih al-Bukhari, he writes in his Fathul Bari, he quotes a hadith of Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib, أول من فتق على لسانه اللغة العربية المبينة إسماعيل. The first person to speak Quranic Arabic, the clear Arabic, Sayyidina Ali says, المبينة, the perfect Arabic, is Nabi Ismail عليه السلام. If you, in fact, if you listen to Sabaic Arabic, it sounds very similar to a Semitic language in Ethiopia called Amharic. Amharic. Another one is Ge'ez. And there's another language in Oman that is spoken by a tribe called Al-Mahriya. They still speak this Semitic Southern Arabian language, which would have been very similar to the language that the tribe of Jurhum spoke when they came to Makkah. So many things happened in between Nabi Ismail and the birth of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One important thing that happened was that Jurhum was eventually driven out of Makkah by the tribe of Khuza'a. So first came Sayyidah Hajar and Ismail, then came the tribe of Jurhum. Nabi Ismail marries Ramla, the daughter of the chief of the tribe of Jurhum, and has 12 children. From there, the tribe of Khuza'a, unrelated to Jurhum, comes and drives Jurhum out of Makkah. And that's when the well of Zamzam was lost. They, in fact, buried some treasure, some of the treasures that they had that they couldn't carry with them. They buried it in the well of Zamzam, and they closed up the well of Zamzam, and they left Makkah. Khuza'a, and the most prominent person, the chief of Khuza'a, who is known to be, unfortunately, is known to be the first person of the Arabs to bring an idol into the Kaaba. His name was Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i. He brought the idol of Hubal, the Moabites. The Moabites, if you look at the Jordan River, you look at the Jordan River next to Palestine, then on the east side of the Jordan River, in the north was the Ammonites, then the Moabites and the Edomites. The Moabites gave the idol of Hubal to Amr ibn Luhay al-Khuza'i, and he brought it and he put it in the Kaaba. This is round about the 4th or the 5th century. So it wasn't 150, 200 plus years that when Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, there was plus minus 360 idols in and around the Kaaba. So the tribe of Jurhum, driven out by Khuza'a. Then Khuza'a was eventually driven out by an individual by the name of Qusay. Qusay. Now Qusay is the first person of Quraysh, from the lineage of Quraysh, the first Qurayshi to come and live in Makkah. Qusay's father, Kilab, lived on the outskirts of Makkah, but he did not live inside Makkah. Khuza'ah was controlling Makkah after Jurhum. So the first person from the tribe of Quraysh to take over Makkah was this individual by the name of Qusay. In actual fact, his name wasn't Qusay, his name was Zayd. His name was Zayd. But they called him Qusay because his mother took him away from his father when he was a young boy and went to go and live in Sham, in Greater Syria. And that's where this word Qusay comes from. لِقَصْوِهِ عَنْ أَهْلِهِ because of him being distanced from his family. And that's why his name was Qusay. So let us look at the nasib of the Prophet ﷺ. These 20 grandfathers that the ulama agree on. قال الحافظ العراقي في ألفية السيرة النبوية فهو ابن عبد الله عبد المطلب أبوه وهو شيبة الحمد نسب أبوه عمر هاشم والجد عبد مناف بن قصي زيد. Let's just take it till there. We'll take it today, inshallah ta'ala. So he is Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the son of Abdullah. And Abdullah is the son of Abdul Muttalib. And Abdul Muttalib is the son of Hashim. And Hashim is the son of Abdu Manaf. And Abdu Manaf is the son of Qusay. Right. So Qusay, whose name was Zayd, the son of Kilab, he drove Khuza'ah out of Makkah. He took over Makkah and he brought his uncle Taym. He brought his uncle Taym. Sayyidina Abu Bakr was from Bani Taym. And he brought his cousin Makhzoom. Makhzoom, the son of Yaqadha. So Kilab had three sons. Qusay, Zayd, Taym, and Yaqadha. So when he came, and this is what you call Butun Quraysh. These were the main families. And then, of course, he brought his three sons as well. So Qusay had three sons. Abdu Manaf, Abdu Dar, and Abdu Al-Uzza. These are the three sons of Qusay. And Qusay is the first person to build houses in Makkah. Before, how did the Arabs live? They lived in tents around the Kaaba. Qusay is the first one to actually build houses, mud brick houses, around the Kaaba. And he's the first person to put a roof on the Kaaba. There wasn't a roof on the Kaaba. He wasn't the first one to put a kiswa on. Anybody know who was the first person to put a kiswa on the Kaaba? Was a king from Yemen by the name of Tubba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Qawm Tubba. Tubba was the first person to put a kiswa on the Kaaba. So Qusay settles in Makkah, and he is responsible now. His family, the family of Qusay, is responsible for the Sidana, Rifada, Siqaya. What is the other one? Sadana, Rifada. Siqaya, Rifada is food. Sidana is basically the person who looks after the Kaaba, who has the keys to the Kaaba, cleans the Kaaba, takes care of the Kaaba. The Saqaya is the one who gives the pilgrims, the Hujjaj, water. Rifada, oh, and Nadwa. Let's remember these four now. Okay? And these four still exist today. These four still exist today. From the time of Qusay up till now, there's these four, what can we call them? Four entities of responsibility. Four types of responsibility. First one, Sidana. What's Sidana? Looking after the Kaaba itself. So that includes holding the keys to the Kaaba, making sure the Kaaba is cleaned, making sure the kiswa is put on. When is it put on? When the Hujjaj are on? On Arafah. That is Sidanatul Kaaba. The keys and the maintenance of the Kaaba. Then Siqaya, Zamzam, is the making sure that the pilgrims have water. Rifada, food. Okay, in those days, maybe they got free food, not today. And a nadwa. What is a nadwa? Nadwa was where the chieftains of Quraysh, where they used to have their meetings. Those were the four houses of responsibility. And so so Qusay, he was basically became the chief of the tribe of Quraysh in Makkah al-Mukarram. His son, Abdu Manaf, and then Abdu Dar and Abdu al-Uzza. They then were the inheritors of these houses of responsibility. Inshallah, I'm not going to make this too long. So inshallah, I will stop now and we will continue tomorrow night. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. I see people are going home. The wife is waiting, and it's a dish of supper. So inshallah, barakallahu feekum. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.